explanation from Hassan for leaving the bench early?
No.
Did you want one, or will you seek one, or?
Probably extremely upset like we all are right now.
I had to go to the bathroom. You know, I just had to use the bathroom. I was just holding it. You know, it's not the first time I left the bench to go to the bathroom, but I think the situation kind of made it a bigger deal because we were down 15, I guess.
Yeah, D-Wade was like, what happened? And I told him in front of the team, and I was like, bro, my stomach been bothering me. I don't know, was it something I ate or something, but, you know, maybe I could have talked to the training staff a little bit and let everybody know, but I was just in a rush to get to the bathroom. You know, it's I think everybody been in a situation where they had to go to the bathroom and couldn't hold it, but, I mean, I was mean.
I think it was a bigger deal just because it was you.
Yeah, I think it's a bigger deal because it's me. You know, I went to the bathroom last game we played Utah. You know, I go to the bathroom like it's not the first time. You know, I think the situation was made it, and that is Hassan Whiteside.
Grow up, man. Grow up someday, brother. Don't be afraid to grow up. It's getting really old, man. It really is. You're right, man. We've all had to go to the bathroom. We've all had to hold it in the front or the back.
I'll be right back, Joe.
Sometimes we've had situations where we haven't been able to hold it, and had to happen here, and, had some crazy things go and have happened. But
you ever sit next to me and just had to let it loose? What do you mean? What are you talking about?
No. All I'm right. Just saying sometimes you can't completely hold it. And,
yeah.
You know, things leak.
Listen,
out.
We've been late to a segment back, like from a commercial break.
Because
like
of
once in a while, because you have to run to the bathroom right. Or across the building. That's one thing.
Because everybody uses the ones closest to us.
Yes, because they're the private ones.
So we go to the
ones.
Other side.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. And then you got to wait over there.
Yes, yeah. So that's fine. But, Joe, if you got up right now and just walked out to go to the bathroom, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to question why you couldn't wait 3 more minutes or 40 seconds of game time.
Yeah. Well. The other one would be this. I mean, I that's his story, and he's sticking to it. And only he knows, right? I mean, only he knows. But he's not getting the benefit of the doubt on anything because he's so immature. There's one thing you can do. No matter what, this goes for everything. Being late, anything, you got a call, or you got trainers everywhere. If it's an injury, nobody just leaves the field. Like, you... All you needed was to tell the trainer, hey, listen, I got a real bad stomach. You just whisper in his ear. You get up from the bench, go over and leak it to one of the trainers. He tells the coach in his ear, finish it out. Nobody says a word. You're fine. You're good to go. But if you walk out, and you walk out slow, it's and everybody realizes you're not playing in the fourth quarter,
mm-hmm.
and you pout anyway, although he sounded real happy yesterday when he realized he got called out in this little team meeting. In the locker room,
it's just
by,
blown up because it's me, Hassan Whiteside. Yeah. No, it's not. You walked off the bench with 40 seconds left. Come on.
You know, it is amazing when Hassan looks in the mirror and it's never him.
Of course.
You know, it's everybody else. He's never taken responsibility for anything. Lack of hustle. You know, he just has never come out and said, I got to do better. It's on me. It's always something else, and it's just it's weak sauce. It really is. So we'll find out. Eric Spoelstra, totally unacceptable. We've moved on. I mean, he's not gonna sit and beat him up, but they want him to know, like, you know, this whole thing of the bathroom and I've had to do it before. Well, if you'd have been in the game and it was a tight ball game with 40 seconds left, and it's a 1-point game, you're gonna
no. No
yeah,
way.
Exactly.
He's all not sudden, walking to go
last
anywhere.
Last thing on your mind is going to the bathroom.
Yeah, I got bubble thing, guts. Yeah.
Last thing on your mind. Mm. Anyway, we got all kinds of stuff going on here this morning, Zach. Xavier Howard, oh, my God. Could have been the worst news that you could get.
Sound the panic alarm, right?
That it's a good chance that Xavier Howard's not going to play from all the reports. And that just puts you... in a really crappy situation, because right away I'm going, all right, Xavier Howard, who took their number one receiver out of the game last year, who's now with the Rams, took him totally out of the game, picked off a couple of passes, and just played out of his world. Remember the game down here?
That's right.
Really got it rolling in that game and hasn't stopped. You take him out, the drop-off with your corners, and it's not a shot at the other guys because Xavier just might be one of the top three corners in football. He says, I'm the best corner in football right now with his 7 interceptions and everything that he's done. But you're looking now at Bobby McCain, Minka Fitzpatrick, and either McTyre or D. Delaney, who you just signed off waivers. That's what you're looking at. D. Delaney, of course, was at the U last year. But
it's good. It's only the Patriots. That's good.
It just changes things.
Yeah. Josh Gordon,
and I will tell you,
yeah.
Nobody, and I mean nobody, picks on the week more than Tom Brady.
That's right.
Tom Brady, I still remember Nolan Carroll coming into the game for the first time. They stuck him in after an injury and literally had to take Nolan out of the game because they were running. First, they ran a quick post. Then they ran the quick post takeoff. They went right through the setup. It's called the setup tree. And the setup tree is where you set people up for the big plays over the top. So you keep throwing it underneath. Then they ran a post corner. They ran the post and they ran the post corner. And, you know, so, all right, they get you to bite on the post. Oh, he got that. All right, I'll jump it next time. Oh, he's going to run another post. Oh, no, it's not. It's not a post. It's a post corner. Oh, no. So.
And who's better, by the way, in this league than throwing those little dumps, you know, to Edelman or to one of these backs or whatever it is to kind of set that up? Then Brady and, you know, well, like, who's better than them?
They're going to play. You got to play tight coverage. And if you zone these guys at all, and I'm not telling the defensive coordinator, Matt Burke, anything he doesn't already know. First of all, our zone coverage is the worst in the National Football League. If that was zone on 4th and 11, then I want nothing to do with zone ever. Because every time we go zone, it looks like a broken man-to-man coverage because guys are so open.
I'm not sure
what zone exactly means anymore with the Dolphins when there's no pass rush. Because not only has the pass rush like been unacceptable, that's what we might do. We might just do the show today off of Eric Spoelstra. Totally unacceptable. But the zone is bad. And this week, you go zone, he will pick you apart. And those guys, Edelman and the rest of them, will just literally curl up whatever they need to get first downs and run a little bit after the catch. And you got all kinds of problems. You got all kinds of problems from there. So anyway, the X-Man would be a huge, huge loss. I'm holding out hope, man. I'm holding out hope that
fingers crossed.
The knee gets better in the next 48 hours, yeah. But it didn't sound real good. When I heard he wasn't at practice, I was going, personal issue, please. Personal issue. Be a personal issue. He had to go home for a day or two. And I don't want anybody to pass away anybody's family, but I was thinking.
No. I get what you mean.
Any kind of personal issue. Girlfriend's getting ready to have a baby.
Kid's got an ear infection. I don't care what it is.
Your sister needed you.
I don't care what
something,
it is.
Right?
Yeah. Not injury.
And then I go, oh, no. Because I did remember when he went down for a sec, but he came back in and finished the game.
That's what weirded me out yesterday, because I knew that something happened, but he played.
Yeah.
So, like, oh, no. Like, what happened now? Did something else happen yesterday? Or Bobby McCain, McTyre, Minka, D. Delaney. Versus Gordon, Edelman, those backs.
Oh, they're gonna get after it. And by the way, this just adds more pressure before you even talk about covering, is to get into Tom Brady, stop the run, and get to Tom Brady, who, by the way, the Patriots are 3-3. I didn't realize that. They're 3-3 right now on the road, and they've been talking about the last couple of days is how they struggled down here against the Dolphins and why and everything else. So they're trying to get to 10 wins. Dolphins trying to get over 500. So we'll see what happens for all that stuff coming up. Other big story coming out, man, the NBA, where we live and die with everything going on with LeBron, right? Yesterday, a huge story was LeBron was so proud to see his kid wearing his number. And I was like, did you think that was kind of weird? Like, I'm all for LeBron scoring 46 and pulls, you know, wins the game and, you know, LeBron hits another big shot. Lakers and LeBron turning things around again. LeBron and the youngsters coming together. And LeBron, LeBron, LeBron. And being the greatest player, he's going to get all the pup. all the pub.
Always has.
And always has. Has for a long, long time, for sure. So, anyway, yesterday, Kevin Durant just kind of called it all out. I'll be honest, I was kind of glad. I know a lot of people think Kevin Durant's a D-bag, and I am a Golden State fan. So
I'm right there in that category.
Are you?
Yeah, yeah.
So, anyway, he came out and pretty much said, hey, the whole LeBron thing's toxic, man. And if you're a star player, you really don't want to play with them. It's hard to play with them if you're a star player and you want to be the number one guy because of all the things. And first of all, he went after the media fanboys. I just thought that was awesome. The media fanboys that go around and have decided that they're going to kiss LeBron's ass every chance they get. We had some guys here in town that did the same thing. You can only get so close to him, by the way.
Of course.
Guys have tried, and he's got his own little clique.
No, he's got his clique.
He doesn't let you get too close to him. But just said it's toxic because he gets all the credit and none of the blame on things that are going on. If things aren't winning, it's because LeBron's got nobody to play with. So while that's all going on, and you and I are talking about it, and we're watching, they had the game on here this morning. You and I are laughing.
Last night.
So it's very funny if you didn't see the game last night, and they beat San Antonio. Lakers beat San Antonio.
Just watch the last 3.5 minutes, right? Is that what we caught right there?
And so Kevin Durant's talking about, it's hard to be the 2 or 3 guy on this team if you're really good. That's why Kyrie wanted out and Paul George didn't sign. So you and I literally look up for 2 minutes, and LeBron at the end of the game dribbles down the court and takes the shots.
Yep.
And the other 4 guys get out of the way.
Yep.
And I was like, that's what they're talking about.
Yep. Now, and let me explain this to you. The reason why he says that is because Kevin Durant could never play with LeBron. But when Dwayne Wade But when Dwayne Wade and Bosch teamed up with LeBron, you're telling me that first year LeBron didn't take heat? LeBron didn't get called out for all the stuff he did? Like, Kevin Durant needs to shut up once in a while. Once in a while, he needs to just shut up because what he did was one of the most cowardly things we've seen in a while by teaming up in Golden State and then calling everyone else out for it.
Well, wait a sec. What did LeBron do?
LeBron came down here and made a super team. The super team is already put together in Golden State, and Kevin Durant joined it.
Well, what'd you think when Bosch and Wade got together? And then the third guy comes down, the last guy to come down and join him.
Oh, it was planned, of course.
Pretty damn good getting those guys in there.
But LeBron didn't join 2 years after they won 2 championships, Wade and Bosch.
Right, but same expectations were on the team.
Sure, but don't tell me that LeBron doesn't get blamed for stuff. That whole first year was all on LeBron. In the finals, it was all on LeBron.
You got to admit, LeBron gets his ass kissed more than anybody.
He's the best player in the league. So did Jordan. So did Kobe. The best players in the league do. I'm sorry we don't kiss Kevin Durant's ass too much, but there's some nights where he's not the best player in his own team.
Yeah, well, he's got obviously other guys.
Sure.
But they all play well together.
But don't call out another superstar by saying is it toxic? Yeah, because the media follows them around.
He said he's obviously a great player, but he's hard to play with. And then we look up, and you're right. He's got to dribble the ball down the court.
That was a horrible example from my argument when we watched the last 2:30 because he took 7 straight shots. And the one pass he got it back.
Yeah, he called it a toxic environment for other stars. And so anyway, it's interesting. And Kevin Durant's not the most liked guy in the NBA
now.
So they're going to say shut up. Although you can say whatever you want about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's one of the handful. I don't know how you rank him. And I don't even try to rank guys right now. Some would say Kevin Durant's second best player in the NBA.
Yeah, if LeBron's one, I put Durant too.
So he's right there and a few years younger than LeBron and stuff. But, yeah, I'm curious to see how this all goes over with LeBron and stuff because he was paying – it's not LeBron's fault that media fanboys, as Kevin Durant called him. Now, Kevin Durant ain't going to win any friends on that, but they've all taken shots at him. He called them a bunch of media groupies. They're just going around, hey, tell us something about your kid so we can have it as a lead story tonight. Bronny, where's he? Oh, he scored 12 last night with a new school, and he's wearing your number. Huge story. You're a proud daddy. That's kind of weird because, there's a lot
weird,
of guys.
Yes.
Look,
we had some weirdos down here. When he was down here for 4 years.
Oh, no, there were
still
guys.
Are.
There's some guys that get
absolute groupies.
Some guys that get after pretty good. And listen, there's different ways to do the media thing. So I I completely understand it for guys that have to cover the beat every day and are looking to get inside stuff. Anyway, we got to go to break. We're getting long here. We'll get into more of this stuff. And we got a lot more stuff to get to. By the way, guess what starts today? The high school state championships up in Orlando. Nobody from South Florida playing today, but man, Friday and Saturday are going to be loaded. We'll get you caught up on all that stuff as well, and a lot more stuff to get to here this morning. And Cameron Wolf will join us, ESPN Dolphins reporter. Albert Wilson, Dolphins wide receiver, is going to join us this morning. He's injured right now. We'll check in to see how he's doing after getting off to just a great start. So anyway, take a quick break. Got a lot more stuff to get to. Radio.com.
Radio.com. It'll be week to week. I mean, we're going to have to see how it goes the rest of the week. And, you know, I'll probably know more towards the end of the week whether or not he's got a shot or not.
Is it his ankle?
No, it's his knee.
Is this a result of when he went down in the beginning?
Yeah, I think it was on the second interception.
Yeah.
Well, what's he have, seven interceptions right now? Yeah. I mean, it's – I mean, you got a guy that's – if you throw the ball at him and you're inaccurate, he's not just going to knock it down. He's going to pick it off. And it's extreme value. I mean, one of our best players, if not our best player on that side of the ball, it's hard to say. But, you know, that's what this game is and that's what the league is. And, you know, we got to make some adjustments if we have, you know, on defense and be smart with that. And, you know, our guys have to step up, and it's not – if he can't go, you're not going to replace him. But we got to shuffle some things around and put ourselves in good position.
All right, that was Adam Gase. Oh, man, that news coming out. Literally, you could not handpick a guy just about. He's gotten to the point he's clearly the best player on the team right now, Xavien Howard. With his seven interceptions, young corner, you hit on the draft pick, got the seven interceptions just heard of, and had a great game down here against the Patriots a year ago, a great game with his two interceptions and not being able to play, or iffy, or whatever you call it. I mean, he's basically got like, hey, let us know Sunday morning if there's any way at all you can play, man. And even if you're 70 or 80%, you're going to be better than anything we have. Because here's what it's going to look like if he can't. Now, all of a sudden, Bobby McCain and Minkah Fitzpatrick are going to be asked to do more. Instead of being 2 and 3, they got to move up. Torrey McTyer's probably got to play. And that's not good because he will get picked on. They're going to spread it out. And then a guy you just picked up, Dee Delaney. I don't know if he plays yet or not. But,
might be forced to at this point.
But, man, you just look at what you have left, and they got Gronk back, and there's some real potential mismatches just by being that one guy short and not having Xavien Howard. You're going to have your troubles anyway against this really good offense. And Brady just getting rid of the ball and got a lot of guys with a lot of experience to throw the football to. But, boy. My God, just when you're thinking, he was the last guy I thought when he was in a practice. And then, you know, we're all sitting here going, oh, please, please be an aunt or uncle you needed to go see. There was an emergency and the family had to run home. And of course, nothing serious. We're not looking for death in the family.
No.
I don't want to be some diehard, over-the-top fan here, but.
Something to take him out for the day.
Find out that it's
where
his
he's back in practice the next day. That's what you want.
Not even out there watching. And so that was the news coming out as the Dolphins went back to work yesterday. And then, you know, all right, so here we are, man. Next guy up. What do you got, man? What do you got? Torrey, you were one of those guys to kind of start the year that they were hoping was going to be a starter. Remember that rotation?
Of course.
Does anybody still remember the old rotation of the three guys fighting for that one starting corner position? And guess what happened? None of them got it. Two of them are injured, out for the year.
Yep.
And Torrey McTyer is still there. But it's not where you need the position to be. And And so, yeah, that's funny how things have changed throughout. But now Xavier Howard being out, boy, that is just a punch right in the gut. I mean, where you can't get your breath. Or a guy sucker punches you in the gut and you just you can barely breathe, man.
It's your number one player on defense right now. It's the one guy that's giving you hope with the DB position. And now the guys that you just said, it's one thing to be playing – I mean, like the Buffalo Bills or something like that this week. You're playing the Patriots. And you hit the nail on the head in the beginning of the show. What do you think Bill Belichick and that offensive coordinator and all of them are sitting in? Yep. Tom Brady are sitting in a meeting tomorrow or today going, all right, if this guy doesn't play the Xavier Howard,
yeah,
look what's the number 3 and 4 guy here that's going to be covering our 3 and 4 receivers.
You don't have to worry. Tom Brady will see he will see numbers. I've seen this show before when the new guy comes in town, and he just absolutely – first of all, he says sorry to him, and then he just – he's got a dartboard, and he's throwing darts,
that's
man.
It.
Going after. This thing all starts, though, with a pass rush, too, even though if he gets rid of the ball quickly, there's not much you can do. But Wake, Quinn, and Branch – I don't even talk about Charles Harris anymore. I'm – 23 games and 2 sacks, and but Wake, Quinn, and Branch, who's, by the way, and the reason nobody talks about Charles Harris because those three guys' numbers are way down, even as a group, way, way down at the bottom of the league for defensive ends as a group and getting sacks, just not what it needs to be at.
But you know the blueprint to have a chance against this New England team, and that's to get that pass rush, is to get hit and hit him. It's not getting 12 sacks in a game against him, but it's putting pressure on him where he doesn't have all the time in the day to throw the ball.
That's right.
And not only that, but if you don't get a pass rush this week, and you got Torrey out there and maybe D. Delaney and as your 3 and your 4 out there, you're going to give Brady time with no pass rush and have backup DBs. Well,
one thing about it, that's a great point you make, and I'll tell you why, because – he's only been sacked 16 times. Tom
That's
Brady
it.
Has been sacked a little more than once a game. So you get the picture of, like, if you're coming, he's getting rid of the ball.
Yeah.
He's going to throw it away. He is not going to take a sack for a loss and get knocked out of field goal range. That's not going to happen. But he'll throw it away. You know, he's not worried about an incompletion hurting his passing percentage at all.
Doesn't care.
So he'll throw it away. So that's why those pressures, more than anybody else, are so important in this guy, and just hitting them and knocking them, making them throw sideways, making him kind of look at you and not let his feet get set. And hopefully, I mean, his numbers this year are not what we're used to seeing right now at 20 touchdowns and 8 interceptions, even though they've been a lot more balanced and have 15 touchdowns on the ground too. So it's kind of a little misleading. Like, all right, so your touchdowns are down in the passing game. He goes, yeah, but they're pretty good in the running game.
Yep.
Yeah, you got 20 touchdowns passing and 15 running. Pretty damn balanced what they've been able to do. And, of course, he rotates a lot of different guys. Sony Michel is the lead dog, but you got James White there. So, anyway, they got a lot of different ways to go and just kind of – pick you apart. Not a lot of huge plays down the field, although you got Josh Gordon there, but it hasn't been about a lot of big plays. It's just a lot of stuff underneath. Now listen, if he's got time to throw, he can look. If you're not getting much of a pass rush, he will look to beat you on the deep stuff, but just got to get a pass rush, man. This game for me starts with Wake, Quinn, and Branch having their best games of the year.
I agree.
It's got to be that good.
Yep, you're right.
And it's got to be hitting them legally. It's got to be getting there. It's got to be getting your hands in his face and not hitting the helmet and all that stuff to have a chance in this game. The Charles Harris thing, as we get into this thing, and
it's a broken record.
First round pick 2 years ago, 22nd player overall. Now play. He's been injured a little bit this year, but 23 games, 2 sacks. 23 games, 2 sacks, both from last year. It's going to be, and I was thinking about this, I wonder, because he's like 6'3", 250, have they thought about trying him at outside linebacker?
Right.
I don't know.
Just to get him more involved at this point?
Have they thought about I mean, the fact that he just doesn't play a lot of snaps and isn't playing a lot, and he should be in the prime second year. First year to second year should be a nice jump where things really kick in.
Still waiting.
And it's just...
I'm waiting for that jump, Joe. Tell me when.
Well, you never want to see a first-round pick who's a pass rusher get shut out. Man, there's nobody in the organization can say, oh, you're wrong. You know, he's killing it right now. He's doing great, and we're really pleased with him. I mean, he tries hard. Don't get me wrong. He's not trying to be bad. He works at it. He was here all offseason. Nobody worked harder than this guy in the offseason, which makes it even more frustrating that he's sitting here with empty numbers. And defensive end is not an empty number.
No.
You need, let me see, pressures and sacks and, you know, knock the quarterback down and
whatever
and
it
bat
is.
The ball away. Even when you get blocked, get in throwing lanes and bat the ball away. It's just, so you know, and you know what happens here. He doesn't play well, and then makes your front office look
terrible.
Like, here we
this
go
is
again.
This a first-round pick. Yeah.
Here we go again. Yeah. How do you guys explain this one?
Can't.
How do you explain it?
So, can't explain it.
Anyway, it's a bad look when you're looking and your pass rush is one of the worst right now in the National Football League. I got to tell you, I give Cam at age 36 still playing and still getting there as much as anybody. And, you know, they got to make some tough decisions at the end of the year just because of age on him, although he stayed healthy and
the Angels
still
wonder
going.
This guy.
You know, he's had some sacks the last couple weeks. But, boy, it's they literally, at the end of this year, boy, they got to sit down. They got to have a big discussion on a lot of guys. A lot of guys on. Because you just can't get rid of, like, 35 guys in the offseason. You just can't. You can't flip your whole team over. But, boy, I'll tell you, they're going to be busy. They're going to be busy. Guys in the front office are going to be busy this offseason trying to figure out who to keep. Can we do different things with them to get more production out of them? You know,
you can also hear the word restructured contract or trying to with a bunch of guys.
Restructured or take a cut and pay is a big difference.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, there are probably going to be some guys that have to take a cut and pay. They're going to say no, thank you, and the team's.
You've been released.
Probably release him at some point.
Yep.
Anyway, we got to go to break here. And so we kind of set the old blueprint down here, even though we still got more time before the game. Last night, by the way, I want to thank all the folks at the Orange Bowl. Had a great time at Hard Rock last night, kicking off the Alabama-Oklahoma game. And all the just a great party, outdoor party there. And the big old by the pool out there. It's just beautiful. And a great night and great food. It was just really a nice event kicking things off. And had a bunch of the old guys with me last night. It was great. Last night, Brady Quinn was with us. Jonathan Vilma was with us. And a lot of former Dolphin guys that are now wearing the orange jacket.
That's right.
The Orange Bowl jacket. Mm-hmm. They're all members now. So, anyway.
You got yourself an orange jacket, right?
No, I don't.
No? They didn't even give you one to wear last night?
No, you gotta get in. The fraternity's got to vote you in, man, on that one. That's a tough one to get into.
You got my vote.
Thanks. There are a lot
my
of
vote count?
By the way, Zach, there's a lot of guys that got them.
A lot of orange jackets.
Man, there's a lot. I don't know what that orange jacket list is at right now, but it's big. Hey, we got to go to break here. A lot of stuff to get to here this morning that we'll tell you about, including a lot of teams here in South Florida getting ready to jump on a bus and head to Orlando for the state championship games. Man, it's going to be fun. So we'll see what happens this weekend and Monday morning, Zach. Who we're going to be talking about has won the state championship and gets that state championship ring. Now, that's something you can wear, right?
Of course.
Because you'll be talking about that when you're in my age. Like,
oh,
hey,
you're a legend.
Remember that one? Where's Jake? He died last year. Oh man, I got to tell you, that was great. Radio.com. Hey, welcome back. Tonight, the Jags and the Titans kick it off. Thursday Night Football, by the way, Zach's had some
really good games.
Yeah, they have, man. It's been best year by far for Thursday Night Football. I used to think that, like, Thursday Night Football, because it's on NFL Network, used to be Just give him any crap game, you know? Just give him a bad game. Let him have it. I can always hear, like, Fox and CBS going, give them the crap game on Thursday night.
Yeah, Cardinals-Niners this week, Thursday night. Tennessee this Thursday night. Yeah, you're right. It's actually a decent game tonight. And if Jacksonville was actually better than their record shows, because they're terrible, they're 4-8 this year, this would be probably a game that the AFC South would be on the line for. Instead, you got the two bottom teams in the AFC South.
Yeah, and actually one of the best four or five games is the fact you've got Indy playing the Texans.
That's right.
See what that looks like this week.
Yeah, it's a good schedule of games this weekend. It's underrated, I think.
Why is it, Zach, that I'm still not buying the Texans? We played them. I saw them up close. They got a first class. I think that new breed of quarterback who's really good. They got two horses on the outside that can pass rush.
Two good wide receivers, maybe the best in the game in DeAndre Hopkins. They have a good safety. They have a good team. You're not sold on them yet. I mean, this is a team, by the way, who's 9-3 and one game out from the seed in
they're,
the AFC.
They're right there. Yeah. You know, hey, this thing in this last month is, by the way, great for the NFL.
Yep.
It's the fact that New England's going, don't count us out. You got the Chargers going, don't count us out. And you got the Texans going, only one back. And a lot of these teams still going to go at it here. So that's going to be a fun one. And, hey, to be honest, I don't know what's going to happen still with the Rams and, of course, the Saints, who lose to the Cowboys, which I don't know if anybody saw that coming or thought that somebody could slow them down. And, hell, they more than slowed them down.
Well, all of a sudden, the Cowboys are the 4 seed in the NFC.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere. A couple of weeks ago, we're talking about Jason Garrett getting fired, and is he going to keep his job, and what's going to happen there? They're 7-5 now in the 4 seed.
Well, guess what? I think they're playing the Eagles. Eagles are going, hey, don't count us out. We're feeling a little Super Bowl-ish again.
Yeah, Dallas.
It's been a while.
Dallas 7-5, Eagles 6-6. So that game, that could be the NFC East right there.
That's what the league wants, right? You want to have games going in December.
Of course. That means something.
Hey, man, we got some games. This thing's still open. It's not a slam dunk. This is not Cleveland and Golden State going to the finals in a month and a half. No. See you in the finals.
AFC, by the way, you want to talk about parity. Number one, KC, 10-2. New England, 9-3. Houston, 9-3. Pittsburgh right now in the 4 seed because of divisions. They're 7-4-1. The Chargers in the 5 seed are 9-3. Half game or a game behind Kansas City with a game coming up with them. Baltimore, 7-5. They're still going to have to play Pittsburgh. They're 7-5. There's a lot. And then you got four teams at 6-6. Including Miami Dolphins.
Yeah. Well, listen, basically, if you're one of those 6-6 teams,
you got to win out.
And Baltimore's a really interesting team, and they're one game out in front of everybody in wild card games. They got a great game. I'll tell you what, by the way, if you like offense, like if you want to find out this week what happens when best offense goes against best defense, we got two really good ones.
That's right.
Right? Rams in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And then the other game with Kansas City.
Baltimore's in KC.
Oh, man, that's – and by the way, cold weather, Baltimore's built for
– That's right.
The colder, the more they're built for it. And then we'll see if Chicago can slow down this Rams.
Sunday night football, by the way.
Yeah. Wow.
Nice game on Sunday night football.
No, listen. Sunday night, man, I don't know what they did. I don't know if they got dirty pictures on everybody or what on the bosses. But it's crazy. Like Sunday night football – I don't know how it works. I really don't. I don't know how the contracts work with CBS and Fox. You know, they can protect a certain amount of games. I know that. And they run the sexier games at 4 o'clock. I know all that. So don't start texting, man. I understand the basics. But I don't understand, like, if I'm Monday Night Football, you can't be – Sunday Night Football is clearly overtaking Monday Night Football.
You're right.
It's not even close.
Only game that Monday Night Football had on everyone else this year is because they had that KC Rams game. That's it.
Monday Night Football, they start promoting their game about 6 o'clock. It starts right after SportsCenter, and they kick it all night on breaking down the game every possible way. And then you got this game on NBC. They go a little bit before and break down all the games, and they get in. They just seem to have.
They have the better matchups than they have for years. Monday Night Football used to be the priority. It's not the priority anymore.
And they can flex their games. It's just, if I was Monday Night Football, I
Minnesota, Seattle, by the way.
Don't you always wonder a little bit about Monday Night Football going, geez, man, we used to be, Monday Night Football used to be, as a player, was like, you felt like a kid again. You felt like you're back in high school, because you were like, I remember the first time, like, man, this is, man, everybody around the town, we're it. Everybody's watching tonight, man, Monday Night Football. And the old original team and you know, those guys. And when they came out and saw you and they walked out and you're like, wow, this is really cool. And now Sunday Night Football is clearly.
That's the one now.
Clearly overtaken.
Yep.
And I didn't even know. Did you know for sure? I remember the first time I said, I don't know if anybody else is out there is with me, watching 1 and 4 o'clock games, although most of the time I've been with the team, but the 1 and 4 o'clock games, and then going, last thing I want is after those games all day is to watch a late night Sunday night game, man. I got to work Monday morning. That hadn't been the case.
Mm-mm.
They've turned it in. A lot of it's because they got great games.
Well, that's it.
People stay up and watch. They got sexy games that people care about. They can flex them late in the year where all of a sudden, oh, we didn't expect you to be this good. We'll take your game.
That's right. That's the best part of Sunday Night Football. They have Rams Chicago this week. There's no other flexing. There's no other game I'd rather see. Maybe Baltimore, Kansas City, possibly.
I never thought Sunday Night Football just
would be the number one
over Monday Night Football.
Minnesota, Seattle is Monday night this week.
That'd be a good,
pretty good matchup, but it's not Rams Chicago.
No.
It's not Baltimore, KC.
No.
Like, these are the other games.
No, they got, yeah, it's just.
Even Philly, Dallas. That would be a pretty good matchup.
I got to give them credit. When they did the Sunday night thing, I was like, oh, God, really? You're taking another time slot, man? And who's going to watch it and stay up after dinner? And then you got to wait, especially East Coast. And the numbers say, if it's a good game.
People are watching.
I'm all in. I don't mind dragging ass a little bit Monday morning. So
that's, you could say this week that the Monday night game is the fifth or sixth best matchup this week.
But, Zach, they get that a lot of Monday nights.
No, I know that. I'm telling you, the only week they had it over everybody was the one Mexico City to L.A. game. When they moved the KC L.A. game back to L.A.
And they got a great game. They got one of the two or three best games
of
the year.
But think about the games that we've talked about here on Mondays and Tuesdays after the weekend. Yeah. We've talked about Brady and Rodgers on Sunday night. We've talked about that great matchup on Sunday night. We don't talk a lot about the Monday night game.
No.
Well, and plus the Dolphins aren't on it, so we're not really talking about that too much.
Yeah. No,
but like the Sunday night game is the big game, or
we can sit back because we don't get invited to any of them anymore.
No prime timers.
They give us 1 o'clockers.
2 fours this year. We moved up.
Yeah, we got flexed.
We got flexed.
We got flexed from the 1 to the 4.
Because people wanted to see Andrew Luck and Aaron Rodgers.
Right. We don't want to mess everybody else up, so they move us. Hey, we got 7 o'clock hour coming up. A lot of stuff to get to. A lot of stuff going on. If you missed it and were wondering about the drama of Hassan Whiteside going to the bathroom, we're going to hear from Hassan and his coach and what he thought about Hassan Whiteside yesterday. And, of course, the news not all good for the Miami Dolphins, potentially without their best player this Sunday against the Patriots. We're going to get you caught up on everything, so stay with us. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Radio.com.